Let's move on to 1 John. We're starting at verse 7 and reading through verse 11. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Heavenly Father, we want to humbly come before you today and ask that your word would change us. We believe, God, that your spirit attends to your word like no other book that has ever been written, that everything in it is truth, and that we do not just read it, it reads us. Grab our hearts. Show us the love of Jesus for a sinful people like us. And lead us, Lord, to love him and to love others because of what he has done for us. We commit this time to you. Do whatever you desire to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was riding up Mineral Springs Road this week, not far here from the church, and before you get to South Ogden, there on the left, you know, you pass by a school, and then there's a patch of woods, the patch of woods that's there, and usually that section of woods has a lot of undergrowth in it that keeps you from seeing through to the other side. But sometime here in the last several weeks, maybe the last couple of months, because I haven't gone up there in quite a while, somebody came along with a bush hog and cleaned out all of that undergrowth so that now you could see very clearly what is lying on the other side of the woods. Everything was cleaned up, clear. Sometimes we need that when we're studying the scriptures as well. Some sections of God's word have a lot of details, and sometimes they're very difficult to weed through. And we're going to deal with the details of this passage today. But if I can, just right here from the start, I want to cut through some of that undergrowth so that you can see the main thing very clearly right from the beginning. And so the primary truth that is here in this passage is this. If you have been brought into the light of Jesus Christ, you will love your brother as Jesus loved you. Let me say that again. If you have been brought into the light of Jesus Christ, you will love your brother as Jesus has loved you. And so that same love that he loved you with, you will love your brothers and sisters in Christ with. Same love, same quality, same thing that is in him will be in you. And you'll direct it outward. But those who are still in the darkness will not do this because the love of Jesus Christ is not in them. That is the main truth that I want you to understand from our time together. And it may not seem like anything that's really earth-shaking, but we're going to be looking at this principle. We're going to see here in this principle is that when it takes root in the heart of a believer and it is lived out, it is proof It is proof that the life of Christ is truly in you. So at the beginning of this passage, it looks like John is talking in a riddle there when you look at verse 7. He says, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. And then almost it's as if John completely forgets what he says in verse 7. He says in verse 8, at the same time, it is a new command that I'm writing to you. So right there from the get-go, feeling a little confused, and we might say, you know, John, well, which one is it? Is it an old command, or is it a new one? And how can it be both if it's both? Because students in a basic philosophy class, they understand the law of non-contradiction. Law of non-contradiction is this: contradictory statements cannot both be true in the same sense at the same time. And we know that the Word of God does not contradict itself. It is not doublespeak. And if something seems contradictory, the problem is inside of our understanding, not inside God's Word. Especially, that should be especially clear to us when those statements are made in back-to-back verses. John does not have a mental problem here. He's got something that he's trying to drive home to those who are reading. And so these two statements that he makes in verse 7 and verse 8 about there being an old command, it's an old command, and it's a new command, are both true, but they must not be true in the same sense. So, right from the beginning, we're asking the question, okay, then, John, tell us, or help us to understand what's going on here. Lord, teach me. How is this command both old and new? And it seems that the way that John is describing this command as old is that it is the same command. He says that. You've had it from the beginning. This is the same command that they have been taught ever since they first came to faith. Something they were told to believe right from the start when they were first introduced to Jesus Christ. This is elementary Christianity. Something you learned long ago. It is discipleship 101, basic. Christians are to be taught right from the beginning that they are to love one another. Seems pretty basic, doesn't it? I would hope that when you first came to faith, wherever that was, that as you were taught to believe the gospel, to trust that Jesus Christ shed his blood for a sinner like you, that you were also taught this. You are to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. He's telling them, you know, I'm not bringing any newfangled teaching to you. In your first grade class, the Apostle John taught to these people, a follower of Jesus will love his brother in Christ. And he's saying to them, and here you are, whether it's 25 years later when he writes this, 40 years, I don't know, but nothing's changed. I'm still communicating the same old command to you. You have matured, you've suffered, you've persevered, you've experienced the Lord, you have walked with Him, and my message to you is still, a follower of Jesus will love his brother in Christ. It's an old teaching, it's not new. And we need to understand here as a church that the basic truths of Christianity, they do not change. One generation to the next passes on the same teaching. It's not new, it's old. They don't need any updating. Now, applications of those truths will change at times according to the circumstances, but those basic truths have not changed since the New Testament was written. Same stuff. And some people might get frustrated at that thought, and they always want to hear something new, something exciting, something different. That's where we see lots of heresy spring up. They need something new. Their ears start itching. Give me something different. I'm tired of the old, old story. And it seems that that's what John was dealing with when he wrote this letter, but if that's the case, whether it's back then, 2,000 years ago, or today, if that is the truth, that you just want something new all the time, a new experience, a new teaching, it might very well be that that person has not really tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Because why would you want the Lord and His truth to change unless you have not experienced how good it really is? I'm the one that needs to change. The Lord's changing me with those basic truths of Christianity. I'm what's being made new. Christ, the gospel, the Bible, they do not need any updating at all whatsoever. I do. And I don't need just an update. I need to be made completely new. So the old command, brothers and sisters, is not done with you yet. And to drive it home even further, it's much older than when you first heard it. It preceded you by many years. Its roots are in the Old Testament law, Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So the people of Israel, thousands of years ago, received this word from God. This was His command to them. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this is really old stuff. The people of God have always been taught that they are to love their neighbor. But guess what? It is old, but it is hard. Isn't it? Is it always easy for you to love your neighbor? Not for me. Each one of us still has that sinful nature in you. I read you that passage this morning from Romans chapter 7. That's what Paul is describing in there. That which I do not want to do, I do. I want to love my neighbor. Don't you? I want to love my neighbor. I tell myself to love my neighbor. I think good thoughts toward my neighbor, and then I meet my neighbor, and I don't love him. So that very thing that I want to do, I don't do. And so this command from the Lord, this loving your neighbor, has to be worked into my heart for a lifetime. Showing me again and again how selfish I am, how unloving I am, how sinful that I am. I need to see that. You need the old command. I imagine that you're pretty good at loving yourself. I'm really good at loving me. I make sure that I've got what I need, that I'm cared for, that food goes in my mouth, that I stay encouraged, that I give myself the benefit of the doubt, that I don't hold grudges against myself. I'm quite forgiving of me. I don't have to be taught to put myself first, do you? We just do that. It just comes naturally. But I am very broken at loving other people in the same way that I love me. And I have to imagine that it is the same way with you. You're really good at loving you. But you're pretty broken at loving people the same way that you love you. So this love command, that John describes as being very old. It is old, but it is not washed up. We need the old command because we have never mastered it. It has to master us. It has to change us. So that's the way that it is old. It's the one that you have always heard. It precedes you. It's an old command that God even gave the Israelites there in the wilderness. Well, how then is it new? First off, that's how Jesus described it himself. John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so here in John's gospel, same writer, he wrote his account of the life of Jesus. He records Jesus' words there as describing the love command as a new one. It doesn't seem very new, though, does it? Seems kind of like the same one that has always been taught. You love one another. Love your neighbor. Sounds kind of like the Old Testament law there. Why would Jesus say that it is a new command? Why would he describe it that way? Well, let's make it just plain right here from the get-go. The newness of the love command is its relationship to Jesus. He is what makes the command new. So notice here that Jesus does not just recite the Old Testament command, the "you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He gives it depth here. He says, "just as I have loved you." I have loved you this way. In that way, you are to love one another. The Old Testament command was given to sinful people to help them love other sinful people. And the measure of that sinner's love that he was going to express to somebody else was his love for himself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love him like you love you. Well, I think we have to admit this morning that some people love themselves more than other people love themselves. Some people have more resources to love and help their neighbors than other people do. And so if you love yourself little, very little, it seems that you have fulfilled the command if you love your neighbor little as well. Does that make sense? So the measure of my love that I'm supposed to express to somebody else is how much I love myself. And it seems that I have fulfilled God's command of love. If I love myself little, I love you very little too. But Jesus does not just restate the old command. He says it in a new way. Don't just love your neighbor as yourself. He says here what? You are to love your neighbor just as I have loved you. And that might not sound like a lot, but that is a completely new way of saying this. Which one do you think is more difficult? To love your neighbor as you love you, or to love your neighbor as Jesus has loved you? His command is a step up from the original. It is the same thing said again without limitations. Jesus does not just do away with the old command, he completes it. He completes it. He brings it to perfection. And I guess we need to ask the question, if Jesus is telling us that we're supposed to love other people in the way that he has loved us, well, how has Jesus loved us? Isn't that what you want to know? Well, okay. What does that mean? How has Jesus loved you? He has loved you with a divine love. He is not hindered in any way by sinful selfishness. He quickly has put you first instead of himself. He has loved you with a deep humility. It is a sacrificial love. It is an overly generous love. It is a love that will not stop. The Son of God left heaven for you. He stepped down and made himself nothing, nothing for you. Philippians chapter 2. Listen to what kind of love that Jesus has shown toward you. Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. That's a me love. That's how a love toward myself is. I'm conceited. I'm selfishly ambitious. I want more for me, even at your expense. Do nothing in that way. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So just pause for a second. He is saying what he's commanding you to do, this kind of love that looks after other people, not just yourself. He's saying that's exactly what Jesus has done for you. And you now have this mind in you. You're able. Because the Spirit of God, Christ, is in you. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, held on to, clung to at your expense. But instead, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is a summary of the love of Jesus Christ for sinful people like you and me. Why would he do that? What compelled him to do this? There was no quality in us that drove him to do that. It was a quality that was in him and his perfect love that drove him to the cross. We weren't so redeemable that he came to die for us. His love was so strong for sinners like us that he came and gave his life. That is a different kind of love than what I naturally have in myself. You do not have this in you apart from Jesus Christ. It's just not present. I struggle every day to love my neighbor as I love me. He is calling us to a higher plane, to have a different quality of love that only he can give. You cannot conjure this up. You have to be abiding in the light, as John says here, abiding in Jesus Christ to love like that. You cannot do this in your sleep. It is not second nature. And so when Jesus said to his disciples, by this kind of love, all people will know that you are my disciples. What do you think that means when he says that? That we just give a little bit more money here and there to those who are in need? Give a few compliments to others when we come to church at one of our gatherings? That we fulfilled this? Absolutely not. The world will not take notice of that kind of love because there's nothing special about it. There's nothing shocking about that kind of love. You can do that in your flesh, and so can the world. But Christ-like love, Christ-given love, that's going to be arresting, that's going to be shocking, that is going to make the world wonder at what you have that they do not. By this kind of love, the world will know that you're my disciples. They're going to say, why would he do that for him? In the same way, we think of Christ and say, why would he do that for us? Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's going to be many small, somewhat unnoticeable acts of love that we give to one another. Things that look very simple on the outside, there's going to be lots of those. But now, even those simple acts of love are going to be done for a different reason. There's going to be something different that is up underneath of them motivating that to take place. There's going to be a higher quality to the love that we have toward other people because it will be Christ's love in us doing it. He will love other people through you. And you will do those out of love for him. He will motivate them. He will compel them. Not a selfish love, but a Christ-like love. Love for self would be flattering your neighbor because you want to be flattered. I love it when people tell me good things about myself, so I'm going to throw a little bit of bait out there to them and make them feel good about themselves in hopes that that bread comes back to me. That's selfish love. And so a lot of our compliments, a lot of our encouragements can be done with that kind of love. I hope they'll love me in return like that. That's not Christ-like love. Instead, you will encourage your neighbor in a way that lifts her up, even at great cost to your pride. Because that's how Christ loved you. And so this old, new command drives us to Jesus Christ. It helps us to see that I cannot do this on my own. I can't love like this naturally. And would we want it any other way than what would drive us to Jesus? Man. I don't know what it is. When I see certain passages of Scripture, this week with me, when I was going through this, it was just like a light bulb turned on. It's like, man, I need Christ. I need him. I am desperate for him. Even my best acts of love apart from him are worthless. Everybody else might see how wonderful it looks, the things that I might do, but apart from him, they have no value at all whatsoever in the eyes of God. I am desperate for his spirit to fill me and lead me to love like this. I cannot do it on my own. But the church of Jesus Christ should always be saying, we are completely dependent on him for everything. And we need the word of God to expose that. And when we see it, there is great joy in knowing that he is there for us. I desperately need you, Lord Jesus. I cry out for your mercy, and you tell me you give it. This will only become second nature to us, this kind of love, when the sinful flesh is done away with. And until then, we need this command. And that command drives us into the arms of Christ. People who love like that are abiding in the light because Jesus himself is the light. And whoever is loving their brother like this is walking in the light because he is the reflecting the light of Jesus Christ in the way that he loves others. And you won't give any reason, John says, when you're loving like this, you won't give any reason to cause anybody else to stumble. Because the way that you love them, the way you are loving these people, will draw others to Christ, not cause them to trip over him. So that outsider might say, well, he says he's a Christian. But if that's the way a real Christian acts toward other people, I think I'm better off without that. That's cause for stumbling. No, what John is saying here is that all men will know that you are Jesus' disciples if you have love, this kind of love for other people. There will be consistency in that kind of love. The kind of love that Jesus had for you, and your love will be the exact same thing because he is in you. And there should be no reason for anybody stumbling over that because Christ will love other people through you if you're abiding in his light. Can you see why you and I need this command to search us? Can you see how often it is that you fail to love other people like this with a divine love, a holy and pure love that seeks to please Jesus Christ, not just yourself? Can you see how often you fail even to love others as you love yourself? Man, I do. And this stuff right here is meant by God to throw ourselves, or lead us to throw ourselves on his mercy. And pray for constant, moment-by-moment dependence on him. And can you see now why John says it here, that the one who hates his brother is in darkness and is a liar? Strong words. Because he is saying that the love of Christ is clearly not in that person. We don't need anything new and shiny in our Christianity. The old stuff doesn't need to be updated at all. You need this old, new command that you should have received at the very beginning, that you love other people with the perfect love that Christ has loved you with. Humble, spirit-led, sacrificial. So let's give some quick application as we close. This is first and foremost a command to love those in the church. That's why he says your brothers. Those in the church. That is your call. And not just the local church, but the larger church of Jesus Christ. You have been brought into a family. We have the same Father, the same Lord. No matter what our background is, we have been called into that same light and love. We are brothers and sisters now. And we'll be brothers and sisters forever. So during our time in this passage, has any person come to mind? Have you failed to love one of your brothers or one of your sisters? Have you thought of them? Have you failed to forgive or ask forgiveness? Are you putting your needs, your interests, yourself ahead of somebody else? Are you failing to give generously to somebody's need? You know they need it, but you have withheld it. Are you showing preference to one person over another because of their age, their race, their economic status? Allow the Lord to search your heart. Don't justify yourself this morning. Don't try to explain it away. Don't cast that thought aside. Let the new old command have its way in you. We want this church, Casanova Park Baptist Church, we want this church to be a testimony of the love of Jesus Christ, so that why? All men will know that we are His disciples because we love like He loves. Right? Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You, God, for its clarity. In Your commands, You show us how we are unable to keep them. They are so simple, yet so hard. Only through the Spirit of Christ, only by faith in Jesus Christ, can we ever love anything like this. Fill this church with Your Spirit. Lead us to love our brothers and sisters here with a sacrificial love that is astounding to the world. And they would say, why on earth would she love her like that? And our only explanation is that Jesus has loved me in that way. And now He loves her through me. Make this a place of love so that all men will know that we are Your disciples. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got any questions about a message or any truths of Christianity after one of the services, if you would please come up and let me know that. I know there's usually a few folks around who are talking, but I certainly want to give preference on a Sunday morning to anybody that has questions about what you just heard or anything that God has put on your mind or on your heart. And if you don't want to do that personally, take that little blue sheet that's in your bulletin, put it in the blue box with your question on it. I'll contact